You're listening to the Renew Life Church podcast. We hope this message inspires you and challenges you to become a true disciple of Jesus. To find out more about us, go to renewlifechurch.com.
All right. Good morning. Y'all okay? Are you sure? Are you convinced yet? I'll get Kyle back up here right now if y'all don't behave, all right? He will. Oh, here he comes. All right. Man, glad y'all are in church today. Glad to get to share with you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Keith. I'm the campus pastor at our Lubbock campus, and you know, get the chance every once in a while to come back down here to Midland and share with you. So today's going to be good. Amen. Come on, y'all, believe with me. Say, Holy Spirit, please help that guy up there. He needs all the help that he can get. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was making fun of Kyle in first service, and he did it again in second. I've thought this many times. You know how you can tell a mature or like a long-time churchgoer? You know how one of the things you can do to tell? They shake up their communion before they drink it. Any of y'all do that? You know why you do that? Because you've been in church long enough to get a soured one. That's why. And you got one of them ones that had them chunks in it. And you're like, what's the matter with our church staff? They can't be replenishing this and refreshing these. Yeah, so hey, if you want to look like you've been in church a long time, eat the cracker. And then just take, before you ever open up the wine, just give a little shakeroo. You know what I'm saying? And then we'll know, oh, that person loves Jesus right there. They shake their communion. Hey, if you have your Bible, open up to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 will be there, and then in 1 Timothy 6. I love when I get to come down, but I don't get to come down very often, so I have a lot to say. And I'm trying to pack in really 2 weeks of messages on this one subject today. So I'm going to try and throw a lot at you. You guys all right with that? We're going to get after it. But let's start here in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Now look at verse 9. "Let us not become weary in doing good." What good is Paul actually talking about here? I believe he's talking about the good that comes from sowing into the Spirit. So let's not get weary in doing good. What did we just read in the couple verses before that? Well, that whoever sows to the flesh will reap corruption or destruction, but whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. How many know sowing to the Spirit looks like you doing good? It looks like you doing good in the kingdom. It looks like you being nice, being loving to your wife, being respectful to your husband, living out your righteous life. Now, we all know Jesus is the only one who can make us righteous, but as we mature in him, eventually our actions begin to look like who we really are in him. Amen? And we start to do good. We sow into the Spirit. And here Paul says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." Come on, say, "Don't give up." Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't give up." Look back at him and say, "Don't be a quitter." "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at just the right time, we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up." Did you know that sowing into the things of the Spirit, doing good, can get tiring sometimes? Anybody ever notice that? It's just like, man, I'm tired of doing good. I've been doing good for a long time. It's time to take a break, right? It's like, man, it seems like when we follow God and we mature in the things of God, it can get hard sometimes. There's always growth to take place. There's always pruning that he does in our life. And the truth be told, it's okay to say it. It can actually become wearisome following God. You can get into places where you want to give up. "Lord, I've had enough. Would you, for goodness sakes, would you please stop pruning me and growing me? I think I like the size that I am." This is great. I'd just like to just hang out right here forever. How about that? You can get weary in doing good. And so Paul comes to us, he comes to the church, and he tells us, hey, don't get weary. Don't get discouraged, that word means. Don't get weary in doing good. Because at just the right time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul goes on to talk to his son in the faith, and look at what he says to him. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness in a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Would you put that back up there? See, y'all tried it on me again. I told you I was a quarterback. I got eyes in the back of my head. I know when stuff's up there. All right, look at this. I think we've heard a lot of messages on pursuing righteousness, pursuing a godly life, you know, pursuing faith, love, of course. But did you know that Scripture actually teaches us to pursue perseverance? Did you know that Scripture actually teaches us to pursue an attitude of not giving up? It actually teaches us to pursue and not grow weary in doing good. At just the right time, you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. See, all of us know we're supposed to have perseverance, but did you know that Scripture, God actually teaches us to pursue it? That one of the things we're supposed to go after is an attitude and a will that does not give up. I believe this with all my heart. Christians should be the toughest, baddest dudes walking around, and girls. We should be tough. We should not be weak. Of course, we have weak moments, but we don't walk around weak. But we walk around in the strength of the Lord. We're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have so many stories in scriptures that talk about the little dudes walking around, slinging stones, beating giants. We're supposed to be strong. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Because of him, we're more. Come on, say I'm more. See, you're more than you think that you are. In him. See, we're supposed to be people who are able to persevere. That's really what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about perseverance. As I begin to pray over this, that's the word that the Lord gave me. And I believe he said something. He said, the people of God need to learn how to persevere. We need to learn how to persevere. Because here's the truth. We give up too easily, don't we? We give in too quickly. We get distracted way too easily. How do I know? Because I'm 12 days behind on my Bible reading plan. That's how I know. Some are like, you're the pastor and you're 12 days behind. I didn't say I hadn't read my Bible in 12 days. I just said my Bible plan, all right? And by the way, you're probably further behind, all right? Come on, somebody. You see, it's not enough just to get motivated by some great talk or some great sermon or the new year. We don't just need motivation. We don't just need passion. One of the things we need is perseverance. Perseverance is a part of being a follower of Jesus. You don't get to feel it all the time. We don't get the privilege of it being awesome every single time. We don't get the privilege of always having the energy and the want to pursue God. Why? Because we're on this side of heaven. And there's this little part of ourself that we won't get rid of until we get to heaven. It's called the flesh. How many know you're a three-part being? You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Your flesh wants to do stuff. Why'd everybody look down when I said that? Your flesh wants to do things. And guess what it wants to do? Not what God wants you to do. Your flesh, guess what it also doesn't want to do? It doesn't want to persevere. It hates persevering. Oh, especially now. We can get things this quick everywhere we go. We can get entertained by the next video, the next video, the next video. We're training ourselves to not persevere. But a mature believer learns that, oh, a part of this journey is me actually persevering through the times when I don't want to. when I don't feel like it, when I don't want to open my Bible, when the last thing I want to do is pray, when the last thing I want to do is listen to Christian music. Please, somebody give me some AC/DCs so I can feel something. But we're called to actually persevere and pursue perseverance. I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, if we are the people of God, we need to persevere. How do we do that? And he gave me this statement. He said, perseverance comes from the overflow. That's worth writing down. Perseverance, it comes from the overflow. And he took me to the parable of the 10 virgins, the 10 bridesmaids. I don't know if you remember this story in scripture, but just to catch you up, it's an end times parable. It's talking about Jesus, the bridegroom, coming back. And it said there were 5 virgins who were wise and 5 who were foolish. Who are the wise ones? The wise ones are the ones who brought extra oil for their lanterns. They brought extra. Who are the 5 foolish ones? The ones who did not bring extra. What happened in the story? It says the bridegroom, Jesus, was delayed. And then he finally shows up, and all the foolish ones ran out of oil, and they got to run to go get some more. The ones who brought extra, guess what they get to do? They get to go to the wedding with Jesus. Amen. They get to hang out with him. They made it. What do we see in this story? Oh, we see people who are ready and people who are not. We see people who are prepared and people who are not. But if you dig a little bit deeper, they weren't just prepared for anything. You know what they were actually prepared for? They were prepared to persevere. They were prepared to persevere. See, why did they bring extra oil? They brought extra oil in case Jesus was delayed. They brought extra oil in case life threw a curveball at them. Come on. They brought extra oil in case things didn't go as planned. See, they were prepared to persevere. Have you noticed this? Whenever you need to persevere, you can't just run over and flip on the perseverance light switch and be like, all right, I'm gonna persevere now. It's a hard season, I'm in a trial, God's growing me, now I get to persevere. Because here's the truth, you either have it or you don't. You either have a reserve hanging out over here of faith or you don't. Now that can sound really, really discouraging. Now, I'm actually here to encourage you today. You know what that tells me? Is that you can prepare to persevere. Are you guys following me today? Yes. You can actually get ready. What am I saying? Perseverance comes from the overflow. How are you ready to persevere? Bring extra oil. How do you bring extra oil? You spend time with the only one who can give it out. His name is Jesus. The one who actually fills your cup. The one who actually satisfies you. So much so that you are overflowing. Where's the scripture? He does exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. Oh, I had an old pastor used to say this. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Thank you. I needed that. I was getting a little insecure up here, all right? But we find that in our time with Jesus, in our time in his word, persevering in those moments actually gives us more ability to persevere later on. So we're called by God, just like he told Timothy, pursue perseverance. So we're gonna, by the way, I just preached my whole first message in about 10 minutes to you, so we're gonna move on. Y'all ready? All right, I'm gonna lay the foundation. Let's go to the next thing. So how are we gonna do that? Well, we're gonna transition by praying. I don't even really mean this prayer. It's a good transition. I'm kidding. We're really gonna pray. Jesus, we need you. We need your help. Help us to pursue perseverance. Help us to be a people who are strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, who are able to take one step after the other, even when we don't see the thing we're looking for. I pray right now that you would impart strength and that you would impart perseverance. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. About 2 weeks ago on spring break, I took my boys. I have Jackson, who is 13, Stratton, who is 8, and I took them on a little father-son hunting extravaganza, we'll call it. And we went down to Central Texas, Glen Rose area, and we did all things man. I mean, they only took one shower that week. It was just all things man, right? It was awesome. We went bow fishing. We went on a hog hunt. They built spears. They built fires. They played football in the gravel. They shot bows. I mean, it was just like, it was amazing, right? And it was kind of one of these trips that was very intentional. We went with some other dads and sons, and it was intentional in the fact that it was like a rite of passage trip. It was one of those trips where we were, you know, taking them from boyhood to manhood, teaching them lessons on just how to be a man. So what did we do? We bow fished. We killed stuff. That's what we did. We shot guns. We got dirty. And it was an amazing time. Well, one of the main things that we did is we went on a hog hunt. And so we had a whole day. We had a morning sit and an evening sit to try and get all these boys a hog. This place that we were going had been touted as like, there's pigs everywhere, right? So all the boys are just jacked up. They're ready to go hunting. So I take both of my boys out that morning. And Jackson's the oldest. He's 13. All the other boys are like 8 to 10 years old. So he's huge. So he's just a monster amongst boys. And I'm like, hey, you get to shoot first. So I got him and Stratton in the stand with me. Well, they set these other two dads and their sons right close enough where you could hear if they got something. So they drop us off early in the morning. We're sitting in there. And I mean, it is barely getting some light. And you just hear, boom. I'm like, oh, shoot, already? Let's go. And so one of the boys, I mean, just he gets a monster pig. I mean, before the feeder even went off. And so all the dads are texting each other. We got a picture already. I'm showing the boys. And I'm like, isn't this awesome? And they're like, kind of. Because you know what? They're just like you and me. We're not ever really happy for other people. Can we all just be honest? Like, I'll be happy once I get my hog. I'm not happy that you got yours. Like, I want mine. And so I'm showing them, like, look at the guy. And they're like, yeah, well, where's my hog? And so we're sitting there, and it's an hour later. It's getting close to being done in the morning. We did not really see anything. All we had at our feeder was just a bunch of little piglets, just little footballs running around out there. I mean, they were like this big. And I'm sorry for all you ladies. Just hang on for a little bit on these stories, okay? So I'm like, I'm really wanting to get the boys something. Nothing big walks out. The hunt's almost done. I'm like, well, we do have an AR in here. I'm like, Jackson, grab the AR, and I want you to mow down as many of them suckers as you can. It was awesome, all right? Hey, boyhood to manhood. There's a reason for this, all right? So he picks the cutest one out. I'm sorry, it's getting worse. He only got one, okay? He only got one. So we get done with the hunt, and they come to pick us up, and there's just this little bitty guy dead on by the feeder. And they're like, is that all you got? My 13-year-old's like, yes. So they literally just grab it by the leg, throw it in the trailer. We roll over. And there's three monster hogs on the back of the other truck that all the 9-year-olds killed. And my 13-year-old killed little piggy, all right? So he's not happy. My other son didn't even get to shoot. We're going back out that night. So we go back out that night, and we actually spread them out. I give Stratton, my 8-year-old, I let him sit with another dad, and then I'm with Jackson again. We're trying to get both of them a hog. It's the last hunt. We go out at 4 o'clock, and I mean, it's gonna be a 4-hour sit. We start, we don't see anything but a little squirrel. And some of them piglets came around again, all right? And we're just sitting there, 6 o'clock, the feeder goes off. For those of you who don't hunt, when the feeder goes off, usually things start showing up pretty close to then. It's 6:30, nothing. 7 o'clock, we've been sitting there for 3 hours. The only fun thing we've done is watch slap boxing videos, all right? By the way, if you need some entertainment, come on somebody. It is so much fun to watch. You're like, what is that? Grown men look at each other and they slap each other until one falls out. Not in the spirit. I mean, they get knocked out. It's great. It's awesome. And it was 3 hours and we're like, okay. Sunset is 7:37. Last shooting light, 8:07. It's 7:30. We haven't seen anything. 7:35, all of a sudden, boom! And I'm like, oh, shoot. We got one. Well, guess who got one? Stratton got one. Little 8-year-old brother got one. So now look at the position that I'm in. We hadn't seen nothing but a squirrel, and I'm just like, oh, look, buddy, Stratton got one. He's like, cool, Stratton got one. This is awesome. And at this point, I've turned this whole experience into a sermon. I'm preaching the word of God to my 13-year-old son, all right? I'm like, hey, look at the way you're holding that gun. You don't even believe there's gonna be any hogs, do you? Get your faith up. Don't give up. Hey, they're gonna show up. Hey, listen, just keep believing. Like, hey, it's been a hot day. They're gonna come in at the last second. I know we've been sitting here for 3.5 hours, but they are about to show up. This is literally the best chance. And of course, my 13-year-old's like, I'm like, put the flipping thing on your shoulder and act like something's gonna come out there, you know? I'm getting ticked off a little bit. I'm not really sure if that was encouraging to him or not, but I, and it's like 7:45, 8 o'clock, nothing. 8:01, 8:02, 8:03, nothing. I said, hey buddy, can you see? He's like, man, I if they were right under the feeder, maybe, but I can barely see. 8:04, I'm like, all right, I think we're done. If you can't see, it's not safe to shoot. Why don't you take the gun out? So we take the rifle out. We take our earplugs out. He takes the clip out, clears the chamber. I got my phone on. We're getting ready to pack up. And all of a sudden, he's like, Dad, they're there. I'm like, what? He's like, there's hogs. And I look out, and I can't see anything. I'm like, give me the rifle. So I grab the rifle, and I look through the scope, and there is hogs covering this whole thing. And you can barely see them. I'm like, well, do you want to shoot one? He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, where are your earplugs? I don't know. Put one in the chamber. Where's the clip? And I mean, we're going full city boy in this blind. I don't know if y'all can tell, but I'm not the hunter that, you know, like most of you are. By the way, this is Magellan. This shirt, this jacket. So I'm outdoorsy. Okay, so we're causing a ruckus in the stand. All right? And these pigs, thank God. They didn't notice, right? So he's looking. I'm like, I'm shoving earplugs into his ears. I'm like, all right, can you see him? Yeah, I think so. I'm like, all right, ready? And I'm like, I'm just covering my ears. And he's just scanning. I'm like, and then he finally goes, whew, and he sits back. And I'm like, are you going to shoot a pig? He's like, yeah. And he gets back on there. I'm like, okay. And I put my ears back. And I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, boom, lets one off. And he's a way better hunter than I am, way better shot. He shoots, and he just stays right in the scope. And he's like, Dad, it's down. I'm like, it's down? He's like, it's on the ground. There's something on the ground. I'm like, there's something on the ground? He's like, I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah. And then he just goes, ooh, and bursts into tears. I mean, just all of the emotion floods him, and he just starts bawling, just man crying, you know what I mean? And for those of you who don't hunt, the only way I can explain it is like it's a thing. You shoot something, and sometimes you cry. It just is, I don't know what it is. But all this emotion hits him. I'm patting him, and they're like, dude, way to go, buddy. Like, I told you they were going to show up. I didn't know if I really even believed it. I told you. I told you they were gonna show up. And I will never forget, we get out of the stand, and like, he's walking around, he's like, God, I'll always believe in you. You know, just, we were praying, it was this whole moment. Well, when he shot that pig, I remembered, oh, 8:07. I reached and I grabbed my phone, I look at my phone. It was 8:07 on the dot when he shot that thing. It was literally at the last second that he shot it. And when I taught the boys around the table that night, and what I want to share with you today is a really, really simple concept, but it's this. There's a blessing waiting for those who don't give up. There's a harvest waiting for those who don't give in and who do not give up. You see, this is not just a good lesson. It's not just something that you should, you should teach your kids. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. But it's more than that. It is actually a promise in the scripture. Here's what it says. Don't give up equals blessing. Don't give up equals harvest. The promise that God has for your life is if you don't give up at just the right time, you'll reap a harvest. At just the right time, you'll get sometimes what you're believing for. And it may be now in this life, and it may be in the life to come. But either way, you're getting it. How do I know? Because he said, don't give up. He said, those who don't give up, those who don't give up, at the last second, and I've seen this so many times, it seems like it's at the last second. It's that last push. When you want to take the gun out, unload it, there ain't no chance. I can't even see. It's so dark right now, the thing that I'm going through, it's gotten darker and darker. I don't even know what goal is out there. And in that moment, God says, persevere. In that moment, God says, don't give up. In fact, in the darkest moment, you're that much closer to it, actually, to poof, hogs. Because that's what I feel like happened. It was literally like, oh, we're done. I looked down, and when I looked up, it was like as soon as I looked down, God was just waiting. I looked down, and he was like, boom, 80 hogs. I felt like my jacket flew when I did that. It's like, poof, 80 hogs, you know what I mean? I feel like maybe God does that sometimes. He's like, watch this. Sorry, I'm a little messed up in my head. I had a lot of concussions, all right? Look at this scripture. I need to read a scripture. That's what I need to do. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres. What are we talking about? We're talking about perseverance. We're talking about not giving up. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. See, one of the ways that we actually learn to persevere, we learn, number one, it comes from the overflow. It comes from staying connected to Jesus. But number two, you know where perseverance comes from? It comes from you remembering and believing there's a reward if you don't give up. Why am I going to keep believing in this place where it doesn't seem that God is going to answer my prayer? You keep believing because he promised there's a reward if you keep believing. How do you not give up knowing there's a reward? How do you keep going knowing there's a blessing on the other side if I keep going? Where do we learn this from? We learn it from Jesus. It said it was for the joy that was set before him, he endured. It was for the joy that was set before him, he persevered through the cross. Right? Right? He had, in a moment, he could have stopped every beating, every lash, every crown, he had the power to stop it. What on earth gave him the power to endure, to not give up, to persevere? You, the reward. He was focused on the reward. I've seen in my life, there are times that I have to remind myself there's a reward. I have to remind myself there's a reason not to give up. I have to remind myself that he's a good God and he's working all things out together for my good, because I'm a son and because I'm a daughter. Some of you are like, well, I don't know what reward to grab a hold of. I don't know what the answer that I am looking for. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. What I don't know exactly what the reward is. That's fine. You don't have to know specifically what it is. You just have to know it's good. Come on, I said you just have to know that it's good. That it's something good that he wants for you. I learned something else in this story. I also learned that perseverance comes from others. Perseverance actually comes from others. You see, my son would have given up 45 minutes into the hunt. But what did he have? He had a dad sitting next to him going, put that gun back up in there and act like something about to show up. Don't quit. Keep believing. Keep going. I have a word for some of you today. Many of you have thrown in the towel early at times, not because you were weak, but because you didn't have anyone beside you telling you to keep going. You want to know the truth? No one in here today has the ability in and of themselves to persevere through everything that they're going to go through in this life. You will need other people. Come on, I said you will need other people. You will need someone in your life. And I don't mean this in a mean way. Your spouse doesn't get to count on this one. I'm not talking, your spouse should be number one, should be the biggest encourager in your life, all that, of course. But did you know that your spouse isn't meant to be the whole of your encouragement, but they're meant to be a part? I'm talking about, guys, you got a dude in your life that will look you in the eyes and say, hey, I know it sucks right now, but you do realize you don't get to give up, right? You do realize that, like, you've been walling around in your pity and as a victim for long enough. Come on, get on up. It's time for you to move on. I know they hurt you. I know they were unfair to you in that business decision. I know all that stuff. I know you should have got the promotion, but you didn't. What are you gonna do about it? Come on. You need someone that will look you in the face and either give you a chest bump or a butt tap, whichever one you prefer, and get your butt moving. And I'm all for having relationships that empathize and that sympathize with what you're going through. I think that's a big part of it, but I just believe that it's a part of it. Because if you just have people that go, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that, it's not enough. And I don't mean this in a mean way. If you're that person and you have more on the inside of you, but all you do is empathize and sympathize, it's time for you to step up and say what you know you're supposed to say. It's time for you to encourage and to equip and to move and to mobilize the people in your life and say, I understand how bad this is. And you'll know the right time. There will come a point where you're like, golly, they're kind of aggravating me because they're still whining and crying. And make sure you're not in the flesh. And make sure it's the spirit. And the next time you see them, you look them and say, hey, you do realize you don't get to quit. You do realize that I'm not just gonna leave you in this weariness. It's time for you to get up and start doing more good. And if you'll not give up, I know you feel like giving up right now, but I promise you this. If you don't give up, there's a harvest, a blessing waiting for you. You'll get your pigs. They're gonna show up. Now move forward. Ladies, you need the same thing. You need the same thing. You need a woman in your life. The best way I know how to describe it. You need a woman in your life that's got a little gangster. That's what you need. And you know the ones that got the gangster. You look at them and you're like, you're sweet, kind of. I'm kind of more scared of you than I think that you are sweet. Y'all, any of y'all met my wife before? She's from Turkey, Texas, and she kind of grew up a little house on the prairie, but she's got some gangster, all right? You kind of look at her and you're like, yeah, I'm kind of scared. You need a woman in your life that will not just sympathize and empathize, that won't just sit around and gossip with you, feel sorry for you. They understand you and they understand what you need and they can give you the encouraging word right when you need it most. And I need y'all to hear me today because this is my testimony. I'm all about relationships. Hear me today. It is not okay for you not to have this person in your life. It's not okay. You need spiritual family. You need others in your life. You're not called to persevere on your own. Adam wasn't. God looked at Adam and said, you need a helper. There's a reason you ain't got all the gifts. I'm so athletic, I didn't even fall right there. I feel good about myself. You ain't got all the gifts. Because you need other parts. What does Ecclesiastes say in chapter 4? It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord can persevere. A triple braided cord won't give up. A triple braided cord is strong. It's not easily broken. Proverbs 27 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another man. And there are many, many more that talk about the value of spiritual family and the family of God being with one another. What are we talking about today? We're talking about perseverance. We're talking about not giving up. I'll close with this thought. The parable of the 10 virgins was a parable of the end times. It's actually a parable of the end times. It was a parable about Jesus coming back. And the ones he came back for that were ready for him were the ones who had extra oil. They were the ones who could persevere. Are you listening? I believe we are in the end times. And some are like, well, you're just like every other pastor who's ever lived for the past 100 years. Yeah, but I'm the most accurate. Some of y'all didn't get that because I'm closer than any of them. I'm not saying I'm the most prophetically accurate. We're closer now than we ever have been. You're closer than first service. And there is something about what God is doing in the body of Christ right now. See, some of you may not be in a season where you need to persevere. That's honestly not really what this message is about. This message is about you preparing to persevere. It's about you staying close to Jesus so you have extra oil in case life decides to do something else. It's about you having extra oil in case the bridegroom delays, in case things don't work out like you thought they would. It's about you finding people around you to go, man, well, I dare the devil to do something now. I got him and I got her and I got... Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you felt encouraged by today's message. If you need prayer or would like to connect with us, find us on social media or by going to renewlifechurch.com.